The idea for this sermon comes from, you know, difficult times, understanding, you know, praying to God and trying to understand why God is allowing certain things to happen in your life. And you're probably there, and almost every one of us in this room is there in some way or another. You're going through something in your life, and you're going, why is God letting this happen? I spent a lot of days doing that. Doing, God, I want to serve you. God, I want to do what you want me to do, yet I can't get out of the bed. You know, I'm here. I'm stuck in this room. I spent 4 weeks in my room. And you talk about difficult. God and I had a lot of nice conversations. But let me say to you this. One of the things that I think gets us off track, that we miss in our prayer life and in our expectations of God, is we have a misconstrued idea of who God is. If you don't know the right thing, if you don't know the character of God, how is it going to be that you can worship him and that your prayer time will be fruitful for you and that your Bible time will be fruitful for you? It's all off skewed if you don't understand the character of God. And you say, well, which preacher knows the character of God? I don't know. I don't know. All I know is what the Word says about it. And the Word, you know, the Word says plenty about it that we should latch on to. And that's what I want to do today. I want you to see the personality or the character of God more than anything else this morning. Now, we would probably all say that what brings us the greatest happiness in our life is to do something, you know, do something nice for someone else. Am I right? You know, if you can say a compliment, somebody, you know, give them a compliment and they'll smile and you'll hear that and all that and they'll make them feel good, that kind of thing. Give them a gift, whatever you have to do. But if you do something to bring delight into somebody's life, then it always kind of boosts your character and it certainly makes them happy for what you did and all that. Ladies, I'm going to say something I shouldn't say. Men, do not compliment your wife's hair. Leave it alone. Don't do it. Compliment anything else. If your wife were ever asked you the question, what do you think about my hair? Dumb up right then. Don't. You cannot win. If you say, oh, honey, I love it, then she's going to say, how come you didn't like it back so-and-so? You mean to tell me all that time you didn't like it? You didn't, you know. But what we do in bringing delight to someone is very important. I've noticed one thing that I've tried to do and going to try to start doing a whole lot more because if you haven't heard, Friday was my last day to work on a 37-year job. It was... Thank you. I didn't do that to get cheap applause. I just want to set this up and tell you that all about a month now when everybody knew I was going to retire, they had people coming by shaking your hands. Oh, man, you've done a fantastic job. You're great. And see, if we hear that, somebody tells us, it's a compliment, what do? You know, we strut back and say, yeah, we sure did, you know. But you know, the truth is like the truth with you and me. I know when the times were bad on the job. I know the times we went through. They all weren't rosy and they all weren't beautiful. There were some times that were tough. I know that. Okay? And let me say that. If I know that, how much more does your God know what you're going through? He does. He knows what you're going through. Now, let's look at the characters of God. I put down there what brings God delight. What brings God delight? And if you explore Scripture just a little bit, you can find that there are many things in Scripture that will show us God's character, what we're trying to look for. And I got two pages stuck together here. And providence will rule. Thank you. Anyway, there's some things I want you to see. And the first one is God's own character. God's own character. God delights in his character. Now, how in the world You know, you look at that and we say, well, how arrogant that is. No. Arrogance is when I delighted in the compliments people were telling me. Because like I said, some of them weren't true. But I delighted in them. You know what I'm saying? You know why? Because I'm imperfect. And I love to be complimented just like you do. And when someone compliments you, you feel better. Now, God delights in his own character, not because he likes compliments or he gets out of it. God deserves to delight in his character. Why? Because he's perfect. He's never made a mistake. He's never had to stop and say, well, you know, I'm going to go back and do that over. No. He's always done it right. It's been perfection itself allows us to delight in it. So God delights in his own perfection, his own perfect character, you know. And when we read the scriptures, we know that he delights in a number of other things that we can read through the scripture. Look with me at your first scripture on there. It's from Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, in verse 9, 23 and 24. 23 says this, it says, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories, glory in this, that he understand and knows me. That I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. Loving kindness, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness. That loving kindness, oh how sweet. Because God allowed a plan and used his son that we could experience loving kindness coming from a holy God through his son Jesus. And there's many people I hear, they walk around and they say this and they say that. Oh, you know, things are tough. And you say, well, you know, do you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? And you know, you don't get like most people have been saved. They can say, okay, yeah, February the 5th, 1980, you know. But a lot of people that you speak with, they don't understand that. That only through the Lord Jesus Christ could God get glory in us. He's perfect. He is perfect. His loving kindness that he exercises through his son Jesus is sent to fill us. It's sent to be given to us that he might glory still in it. He may glory more in it because he sends it to us. Now, the next one is one that I think you may have trouble with, and the reason is this: is most people that have trouble with this have trouble with the word judgment. We hear judgment, and we don't, you know. No, let's not go there. And here's the truth: I don't care how righteous you think you've been living, and I hope you have, but you go through a judgment, and you're not going to pass the test because that nature of sin that's inside you. That nature of sin inside you is going to cause you to fail all of that. So God delights in judgment. Let's see what he delights in. Ezekiel 33:11 says this, excuse me. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn from your evil ways. For why should you die, O house of Israel? Now, that's what we need to understand, the gist of the whole thing. If we think God is a all-powerful killjoy that's looking to send somebody to hell because they did this or did that, that's an untrue picture of the living God. God uses loving kindness to accept all who will come to him. He does not sit and delight in sending people to hell. He doesn't do it. That's just not true. God does not delight in the wicked, you know. And let me be sure we know if I hadn't said it right so far. We're all wicked. We're all in that category. until Jesus Christ comes into our heart and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And then when God the Father looks down at us, he doesn't see that sin that's all over us. So he doesn't delight in the judgment of the wicked. Those that during the great white throne judgment that's coming, when Jesus comes back again, those that have not accepted him are going to be with the wicked. And he's going to send them in a place that burns with hellfire. It's a place worse than I can imagine. And the reason it's worse is because you won't be with the Lord. We need to preach that, I believe, from the pulpits and let people know that you can't be on the edge. Because if you're on the edge, you're lost. You know, you've got to make the profession. And let me finish what I was reading. Colossians 1:12 says this: giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Man, look at that. He has qualified us to be partakers. Even though we weren't born his people. We weren't born into his people. We have a chance. We have an opportunity because he set up a place for us. He's just waiting for us to decide. He's waiting for us to make the decision. And then when we do that, we will be the partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light. God will see us, and the Jesus that's in us, he's going to see that. One day we'll get to meet with God, and we'll get to talk with him and ask him all these questions that we've come up in our mind. I know I have a few more than I used to. The C part, not only does God delight in himself or his own character and in judgment, but God delights in mercy. God delights in mercy. Now, it's hard for me, it's really hard for me to understand how a God wants to have mercy on me. I have sinned against God. I have sinned against heaven. I have broken his holy laws. I've done everything on the opposite scale to go the opposite direction. But our God is rich in mercy. He's a merciful God. He doesn't care how far you've been or where you've been in your sin. It's like the prodigal son and the father. The father's waiting. He's waiting for you to make the decision to come into his courts and for you to decide to follow his son Jesus. And when you do that, God delights in the mercy that he had on us. And we all need that mercy. There's not a one of us in here that don't. We all need that. Now, I put in there also this scripture. Micah 7:18 says this: who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in mercy. Our God's character delights in mercy. So we're making a character here. He delights in the good judgment. He delights in his perfection. And he delights in mercy. Hosea 2:19 says it this way. I love this. I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and judgment, in loving kindness and mercy. Righteousness and judgment. You realize, folks, that what this word righteousness means is actually a very complicated term. We've simplified it, and I'll tell you, and the way I simplified it is to be living a right relational life with Christ. To be living a right relational life with Christ. Because this is all about relation. It's about a relationship. And if you're not living a right relationship with Christ, then you're not living in righteousness. So God cannot get honor from that. What people understand is, I got saved such time, and you ask them, well, what are you doing for the Lord? I go to church on Sundays. Sometimes when I can, I go. I don't know where it's ever been written that if you just go to church, you fulfill your obligation. That's just one of them. God demands that we gather together to worship him. That's one of them. It's not all of it. You know, you leave these doors today and we go out tomorrow and the next day and whatever, we got to represent Jesus Christ. That's righteousness. That's living in righteousness before him. That's getting your life straight before him without any hidden secrets, without anything that you just totally don't want to turn over. Turn it all over to him. And that's living righteous when you do that. He'll direct your path when you do that too. He'll help you in the choices that you make. And if you go make selfish choices and all that, Jesus has got blood that's going to cover all that. And when God sees you, that blood's going to be, that blood of Jesus is going to save you. You're going to go to heaven, but you've got to make that decision while you're here. You can't wait and get to heaven and say, hey, I believe I'll choose heaven. It doesn't work that way. You got to choose here, folks. Now, that's God delighting in his mercy. Moving right along. And I'm kind of like Brother Frank. If y'all will grunt every now and then, at least I'll know you're out there. I loved that last week, Brother Frank. I'm glad you didn't look over at me because I was horse laughing. That was so funny to me. Sometimes I just need to hush, don't I? Now, the character of God, he delights in God's Son. Well, you say, Mike, that's pretty easy. He delights in Jesus Christ who came to be Savior of the world. But what I want you to see is in Isaiah 42, look what it says. It says, behold, my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. And he will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. Now, when I did some reading on this particular passage, and I was kind of shook a little bit by it. Because if you look at the meaning there about God's Son and bringing him righteousness, God's Son did it in this way. He kept every covenant commitment that the Father had on this earth. Jesus fulfilled every one of them. So from that standpoint, he didn't just come to save those who were lost. He certainly did. We know that. But he also fulfilled the covenants that his Father had on earth. And his Father took glory in that. He took delight in his Son being obedient. How much more will he delight if you and I try to be righteous and live a righteous life before Christ and get out of this do the best I can mentality? I don't know where that's in the Bible. I haven't seen it. Look at John 10, 15 through 18. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not in this fold. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. You talk about some beautiful scripture. That's it right there. The Lord God of heaven and his Son Jesus looking and saying, you know, There's a flock of sheep. It's my Father's flock. I lay down my life for them. They're my Father's sheep. And there are other sheep. See, the other sheep I have which are not in this fold. Them I must bring. They'll hear my voice. When Jesus calls, you're going to hear the voice. Jesus speaks to you this morning. You're going to know it. You know, you may be confused a little bit. But you're going to know it. And he says, when they hear my voice, there will be one flock and one shepherd. Which he says there's a time coming when Jesus will cover the flock. And those who didn't follow him, They're not in the one flock. They're not going to be saved. You understand? And God's character delights in his son in that. God's character delights in Jesus Christ right there. Therefore, my Father, he says, loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This command I received from my Father. That's talking about Jesus' sacrifice on the cross for us. Beautiful passage. You know, it's almost like he's saying, I had all power. You understand? I could have taken myself off the cross. They would have never taken me had I not given it. I gave it up for you. You know, don't misunderstand that they took me by their own strength and nailed me to a cross and all that. No. I'll never believe that. Now, did it happen? Yeah, but they didn't take him. He let them. And he let them do it. And in doing so, look at the joy the character of God got from that. He had to send his only son to take on the sins of the world. And yet, in some way, there's joy and delight for God in that because of what Jesus did. Exactly what Jesus did. Now, I'm finishing up. Some of you are extremely anxious, I know, at this time. The third thing I wanted to speak about is God's saints. God's saints. Now, Ephesians 1, 4 through 6, I'm probably reading this out of order. But Ephesians 1, 4 through 6 says this, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption by sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Now there are a lot of words in there that I won't get you stuck in this morning. All I want you to understand is those words predestined, those words adoption, and all of those things, and that God knew from the foundation of the world. I don't have a bit of problem in this world knowing that God knew who was going to come to him. If he knows everything, obviously he did. But you need to understand one thing. This is a whosoever will come gospel. That's what this is. And God delights in his people. God delights in us when we are living a righteous life before him. He delights in his saints. And so we should be doing everything we can to live that life, to make a difference. Now, I want you to ask yourself, as you leave here tomorrow and the next day, whenever you get back together with your people, I don't have to get up Tuesday. That went right over your head. I want you to think about, what are you doing for God today? Ask yourself, what am I going to do for God today? You know, it can't all just be take, 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 take. Some of it's got to be servants. Some of it's got to be righteousness before him. And that's kind of what we need to focus our lives on. Let me say this. Let me read Ecclesiastes 9:7, where he says, go and eat your bread with joy. Drink your wine with a merry heart. For God has already accepted your works. Now, you understand that our works will never get us to heaven. Now, we can work righteous lives, and that's good. Like I said, he gets a character that gives his character delight. But our works won't ever get us there. The only way God can be satisfied with what you're doing is if you're doing it in Jesus Christ. Because if he looks at you and you're not, I mean, you can come every Sunday. You can clean the church. You can mop the kitchen in there. You can do everything you can do. You can lead a Bible study. You can preach. You can teach. You can do all these things. And if you're lost, God got no glory from it. Not one. Not that much. It's all about making the decision, folks. It's all about not going home and saying, boy, you know, I wished I'd thought more about that. If you're thinking about it, God put it there. You don't, I've said this a number of times, probably every time I preach. You don't wake up one day and say, hey, I'm going to go to Christ today. You don't do it. God puts the faith in you to ask and ask him to be come into your life. He puts that faith inside you. Because if you don't have that faith inside you, you're not going to do it on your own. Believe me, God calls those. It's like it said in that verse, God calls those. He already knows who's coming. So you can make it easy and just say, hey, I'm going to dedicate my life today. And today's the day. Now, Keith, if you'll come, we're going to pray and then we'll be dismissed. I thank you for allowing me to be seated while I did this. It helps me. I don't know what it looks like to you, but it helps me. As we sing this last song, I want you to do this. I really do, because I think there's some people out in here today who've never made a commitment to Jesus Christ. You're just living day by day, going to church on Sunday, like my Sunday school teacher, everything's cool, but you have not made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ. If you've not done that, your life is void. There's a void place in your heart that God made you. He created you. And creating you, there's a void place in your heart that he wants to fill. So as we sing this song, I want you to think about that. If you need to come and kneel this morning and accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, maybe you're already saved. Maybe you've been saved for some period of time, but there's something in your life that's dealing with you that's trying to tear you down, and you need the only one who can make the difference. And you need to come and bow on your knees and do that. You do that. If you'd like me to pray with you, just motion your hand to me. I'll be glad to. Otherwise, I will not bother you. You come and pray. I don't want anybody to be embarrassed. That's not what this is about. It's coming faithfully.